created, right? Okay? And so the reality is that God is still creating. And all you have to do is look at a sunrise or a sunset some days, or the sky, you know, all those kinds of things. There are, the theologians talk about God's communicable and incommunicable attributes, okay? So incommunicable attributes would be things like his omnipotence, he's all powerful, his omnipresence, which means he's everywhere at once, right? And of course, his omniscience, he knows everything. So we can't attain to those things, but God has communicable attributes too. Think of the fruit of the Spirit. Those are all hallmarks of God: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But he can communicate those to us. He can instill those in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. So one of the things that God can communicate to his creation is creativity. And that's what we're going to celebrate this morning. I found this passage in Exodus, Exodus chapter 35. Nancy, I see you laughing down there. I'm taking your whole talk away, aren't I? Okay. Well, then maybe I'll just shut up. We're going to hear from four of our artists. We have a higher per capita, really outstanding artists in this church than any church should have. I mean, if you take the percentage of people who are really talented in some kind of art, we have an amazing number here. And so we're going to hear from just four of them. There's others we could hear from. We're going to hear from Dave and from Nancy and from Clark and from Tina. So I'm not going to introduce them one by one as they come up. So be prepared to come up when it's your turn. We're going to hear from Dave first.
Well, good morning, church. It's good to be here. When I think about art, as a child, I was fascinated by the cartoon series Casper the Friendly Ghost. And that was the first thing that I can look back years ago, what caused me to want to draw. I always was intrigued by Casper and his three minions here. But the thing I also remember as I look back is my father teaching me drawing trees. So if ever you see a lot of pictures that I do have trees, that's one of the reasons. My dad kind of encouraged me in drawing trees. There's so much character and depth in the shape and forms of trees. As a child, I was raised Roman Catholic, and I would hear the Gospels, and the one passage, as I think back as a child, that stood out to me is the parable of the talents, where the master gives five talents to one, three, and then one to the last one. And you hear about the faithfulness of the servants. They say, look, master, I got this, I got this, I got this. But the last guy really hit me. He dug a hole in the earth and put his talent in the ground. And that really spoke to me in that I don't need to bury the talent that God has given me. And so that has been kind of throughout my life. You know, I've gone through seasons of drawing and painting and then not drawing and painting. But I always am reminded that God gave me a gift. And today I want to encourage each of you the gift that he has given you. Some of you out here have more gifts than just one or two. And I just want to encourage you to use the talents that God has given you. I'm reminded that in doing that, for my life, since cartooning was, or drawing cartoons was what amazed me, I still use it today in teaching my Afghan students. I'll draw little cartoons to illustrate a word or an idea. And when you look back in the early days of the cathedrals, the reason why you had all those stained glass, not just for it to look pretty, but it was to teach the people what these accounts meant. That people could, if they can see something, even though they can't read, they see this image, it helps them to understand. And so to this day, I still use my art in that fashion. And now that I'm retired or semi-retired, I'm trying to get back into painting. But all in all, God has given each of us a talent. And I just want to encourage you, you know, not just looking at the works that we have exhibited today, but to think about in your own life, what talents has God given me to share the goodness of God, to show his beauty. And also, it's a great way to develop a conversation with a total stranger if you're drawing. So, I'm not saying everyone has to draw a cartoon, but I'm just saying, whatever talent God has given you, to use it. Thank you.
Let me get my cheaters out here. I've attempted to organize everything to the best of my abilities to keep it pithy. I don't want to contribute a word salad to today's potluck. The story goes that I was drawing long before I was writing, much like Dave. I would refer to comic strips in the newspapers and also the comic books I would draw from as I was growing up. So having always been an art guy instead of a word guy, it has taken a bit of time to me for me to reflect in prayer and to think about how God has impacted my life and my work as an artist. I found a few verses that really spoke to me in that regard. And I can forgive Bill for stealing one of mine and Dave for stealing one of the other ones. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Picturing God as an artist, not necessarily as Bob Ross painting happy little trees and mountains, but more in the image of Da Vinci. With a palette of the most vibrant colors you can imagine, he masterfully brought the universe to life. For everyone who's been blessed with the creative impulse, be it writing, be it music, be it art, those talents have literally existed from the dawn of time. Think about it. That is pretty cool. That leads me to the parable of the talents. So pardon if that's a little on the nose. Matthew 25:14-15. God has entrusted me with the seed of artistic talent. I am responsible for tending to that seed, feeding it so it will grow into what God has intended for me. There are many artists I admire. Struzan, McGinnis, Peake, Adams, Harkins, among many others. For years, it has frustrated me that my work never looked like theirs. It was derivative. It was a copy. It was not my own voice. I struggled with that until it dawned on me that those are their God-given voices, their talents that they have mastered. But that doesn't mean I can't learn from them. How do they observe the world around them? How do they use their tools, their mediums, to interpret that world? How do they solve specific creative problems? I study aspects of their work, then apply that knowledge to developing my own talent, and it's an ongoing process. It always will be. I had to remember that to trust in God's plan for me, to not mimic someone else's artistic voice, but to learn and speak with my own. That brings me to Exodus 35:31-32. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge, all manner of workmanship to design artistic works in gold and silver and bronze. It's in those moments when I'm drawing or painting, regardless of my studio, if I'm outside, that I feel closest to God. The work I produce, be it on paper, be it on pumpkin, it's all because of His generosity, His patience, and His grace. It is truly a collaborative effort with Him. He uses me in the same way that I use a brush and a pencil. Does that mean everything I do is perfect? Certainly not. There are challenges, there are failures, which must be pruned and thrown into the fire. But each piece is an opportunity to work with Him, to grow with Him, and ultimately utilize my talent in a way that I hope others will enjoy, but most importantly, is pleasing to Him.
Okay, I'll try not to repeat some things that have already been shared, but kind of happens here. So, because God, God is creator and He is so creative. And, really, when you think about it, in creation, He spoke everything, the animals and everything. But yet when He formed man, it's a God formed, and so it's just, to me, it's so cool. He was just so personally informing man, using his, I don't want to say hands, but I see too, that God values beauty and creativity and being made in His image. We all are going to have a portion of creativity, whether it's the visual arts, the dance, the music. There's creativity in the baking, the sewing, the wood turning. We have this creativity in us. And I just, with God and nature and beauty, just when you think about that, the priest's garment, the tabernacle, how God way back, He made people in Ezekiel 35, the artisans, He gave those gifts, those talents. And for me, I was trying to remember, I think going way back when I was thinking that, I think what impacted me for art the most was when I was in fifth grade. My fifth grade teacher, his wife was an artist, and I remember she would come in every week and do a project with us. And so I just really remember that. And then so through junior high and high school, it was just something that I did. I did the painting, the drawing. It was one of my favorite things through high school. And then going into that, I went into to use that talent and gifting, and went into more of the commercial art, kind of graphic design stuff, being out at American Airlines for several years, desktop publishing type of stuff. But I kind of wanted to get back into the fine art, the painting and the drawing and that kind of passion. I think art really helps us to kind of to communicate, to express our emotions, our thoughts, and our feelings, and even our imagination. God is really imaginative. And I really commune to and feel close to the Lord just with nature and being outside. And I just love, it's true. You just go outside and you just see God through His creativity and every day He creates and in the sunrises and the sunsets. And I just like to, I don't want to copy what God does, but I just have all these cloud pictures from Nebraska and everything because I just want to kind of portray God's glory. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. So I just want to get back into that. But in the meantime, I've been the past several years, 6 or 7 years, working in mosaics, and kind of in like the Picassiette style where you use broken plates and ceramics, glass. And how I got into that was, when we had our coffee shop and the original owners used vintage china and everything. And so when a plate would break, we'd just throw it away. And one day I just thought, I can do something with this. Why am I throwing away, what's broken? So I had this big pile of, dishes. I just kept collecting these boxes of dishes. And so I kind of got to the point where, you know, to me, what it speaks to me is that I think I saw in my life how God, you know, God uses brokenness. God, I don't want to say he breaks things, but I think of the word broke. And, you know, I tell someone I like to break things, and I think of how God broke. Jesus was broken. You know, his body was broken for our redemption, and how God uses brokenness. And how kind of like there were points in my life that things just looked like a heap of broken mess. And God told me, you know, I felt like he just spoke to my heart, you know, well, give me the pieces, you know, give me the pieces. And so to me, my vision is just with the work that I do, that, you know, in our brokenness and those things that are hurtful, that when we give those pieces to the Lord, he's the one that will take those and he will put those together and he will transform those things, those situations, our lives into his beauty, in his beauty. And so I just kind of wanted to share a devotional kind of thing that I have here. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. That, oh God, that you will not despise. And those people God uses most to bring glory to himself are those who are completely broken, for the sacrifice he accepts is a broken and contrite heart. It was not until Jacob's natural strength was broken, when his hip was wrenched at Peniel, that he came to the point where God could clothe him with spiritual power. And it was not until Moses struck the rock at Horeb, breaking its surface, that cool water came out of it for the people to drink. And it was not until Gideon's 300 specifically chosen soldiers broke the jars that were in their hands, which symbolized brokenness in their lives, that the hidden light of the torches shone forth, bringing terror to their enemies. It was once the poor widow broke the seal on her only remaining jar of oil and began to pour it that God miraculously multiplied it to pay her debts and thereby supplied her means of support. And it was not until Esther risked her life and broke through the strict laws of a heathen king's court that she obtained favor to rescue her people from death. It was once Jesus took the 5 loaves and broke them that the bread was multiplied to feed the 5,000. Through the process of the loaves being broken, the miracle occurred. It was when Mary broke her beautiful alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, destroying its future usefulness and value, that the wonderful fragrance filled the house. And it was when Jesus allowed his precious body to be broken by thorns, nails, and a spear that his inner life was poured out like an ocean of crystal clear water for thirsty sinners to drink and then to live. And it was not until a beautiful kernel of corn is buried and broken in the earth by death that its inner heart sprouts, producing hundreds of other seeds or kernels. And so it has always been, down through the history of plants, people, and of all spiritual life, that God uses broken things. Those who have been gripped by the power of the Holy Spirit and are used for God's glory are those who have been broken in their finances, broken in their self-will, broken in their ambitions, broken in their lofty ideals, and broken in their worldly reputation, in their desires, and often broken in their health. Yes, he uses those who are despised by the world, who seem totally hopeless and helpless. Just as Isaiah said, the Lamb will carry off the plunder. So that's my vision and hope, that God will just use that form of creativity just in our lives. So,
I think that Dave saw that I had all these papers and I kind of scared him. So it's just written really big, so I may not have to use my glasses, so this ought not to go on too long. I am just so grateful to God for this day of honoring God with the arts, and I'm so blessed in this church to have close, good friendships with other artists, and it really has been a tremendous blessing to me over the years, because the art world is not a world that I move in very easily, because they don't know the Lord. So I just wanted to reiterate, you know, Bill said something about TCF has a rich heritage of artists, you know, and musicians, and we used to have dancers, and so I'm really grateful to God for all that. I think I'm going to risk telling you a story. I think I have time for this. It's always risky to share your work with people. And so many years ago, I gave myself a show at the Tulsa Garden Center. And I had shown at a place called First Priority Bank. And I had invited the owners of First Priority Bank, the couple, to come to the show. And they brought with them one of their employees. Well, we're talking about childhood art, as we've talked about. And I've been doing recognizable things, drawing things, since I've been about three. So I had put together an album, besides my paintings, of my childhood art. And I thought it was interesting because it showed that I understood perspective and proportion and, you know, portrayed distance pretty well. And that was above, you know, what most people did at my age. So the employee that this couple brought was particularly interested in my childhood art, and he spent a lot of time looking at it, probably more than at the paintings. And he came to me and said, how is it that you became an artist? And so I kind of thought that he was probably asking me something, and it was not coming out right, because he was a really nice man, and, you know, I didn't know why he was asking that. So I kind of blew off the answer, and he came back later and said, what possessed you to become an artist? And, you know, I hated to say, well, you know, I was really good, but that seemed kind of braggadocious. So I said to him, the teachers that I had through school thought I was really good, and he had been a teacher, and so his response was, isn't that the way a teacher tells you that you're good at something, and then you become what the teacher said you were? So at that point, I was kind of trying to see who else I could talk to at the show, kind of wander away. Well, after that, I was showing at their bank, and I went in the bank, and he came running, and I was trying to avoid him. He was a friendly man, but I just, you know, didn't know what to do with him. And he came running and told me that he loved to have young people come into the bank to show them the pieces that the bank had bought. The bank had bought a couple of pieces, and tell them how bad my childhood art was. So at that, I just kind of said thank you and moved on again. So it's always risky when you share these kind of things. So I have always loved to draw and paint. I remember doing that, you know, back in kindergarten, you know, with the jar of tempera paints and all that kind of thing. And I never had the self-control to leave the piece of art down flat so it wouldn't run. I always wanted to show the teacher, and I even knew what was going to happen, and I could not resist going to show somebody. So I've always wanted to share what God has given me. So I think all of us are moved by beauty. And God made beauty. I mean, he made it to be a powerful thing because he is beautiful. And so his fingerprints are all over creation. I mean, we've already talked about that. And so when I see things that he shows me, it's just not enough for me to just look at them. I mean, I used to have a neighbor that said, why can't you just look at the flower and not have to paint it? But I just didn't feel compelled that I need to have some kind of response more than just saying, gee, that's beautiful. And obviously I can't paint everything, but when I see the things that God has done, like if anybody saw the sunset last night, was just incredible. But more than just sunsets, his fingerprints are all over every bit of his creation. And I just feel like I need to respond some way by following the shapes and the lines and the colors and all of that kind of thing. And it's communion with him when I do that. And so I think that then when I have that communion with him, it turns into worship. And I think those things bless the heart of God. And so that the first kind of purpose of our art, I think, is to glorify God and to bless him. And if no one ever sees it, you know, that's okay. But to bless him, and I think he is blessed in that. And so Ephesians 2:10 said that this, you know, talks about these good works being prepared beforehand. And I think these are some of the good works that God has prepared beforehand for us to walk in, because we are his work of art. He is making us into a work of art. And then what is it here? Psalm 19:2, and it's already been mentioned. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. And that's only one scripture that talks about God's creation. And so the other aspect of my work is I want to communicate with my viewer. I think it's probably no secret, though you're not an artist, that you can see that everything is being redefined these days. You know, art is something we've never seen before, is what I hear. It's things that don't really glorify God. And so I want to be able to communicate hope and peace, truth, order, all those things that are aspects of who God is. And hopefully in conveying those things to my viewer, that they will be drawn closer to the Lord. Sometimes I get to hear how those how pieces have blessed others. I guess one of my favorites is back in 1994, Mark Galloway. I mean, he was a member of this church. It's been a very long time ago. You may not remember him or ever knew him. But he was a precious brother who really struggled with a lot of different challenges. And he had gotten laid off, and we asked him to come sit for us at the portrait group. And first off, it was such a blessing because all the ladies were so fond of his nose and his eyes and all that as they were drawing him. And so it really built him up. And so the portrait that I did of him, when Mark passed away, he went to be with the Lord in 01. Ed and I were just devastated. And I got out the portrait and could make copies of that for his family. But what was really surprising to me is I was comforted by my own art. And I didn't realize that that could happen. But we were pretty devastated, and my tears stopped when I saw the piece that I had done of Mark. So, I really believe the art itself for a Christian has eternal significance. I mean, people a lot of times who don't understand want to say, well, it's all going to burn. Well, the experience of you doing it with the Lord and blessing him, and then also what you can convey to your viewer, that stuff remains. If it's from him, it remains. So another scripture I thought of was, I'm getting my notes all mixed up here. We've already talked about, it's Exodus 31:3. God says he's filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God to make all the beautiful works in the tabernacle. This is the first recorded incident of God filling someone with the Holy Spirit. So this is really exciting to me. So lately, a good friend of mine and I are praying a lot more about what should we paint, how should we paint it. If we get stuck, we call each other and pray. It's just been so good. I mean, I don't know why I've missed this for so long, but it's been so good to really involve the Lord in what we're creating. Before that time, I had two pieces that the Lord really had a impact on. One was I just had my quiet time one morning and art stuff starts creeping in, and he had changed the lighting on a reference photo that I had completely. And so I had a vision of what the painting should look like. It took me two or three times to get it done that way, but I did. The other one, I was on the exercise ball in the gym, and I had just finished this painting, and the Lord showed me something else that I could do to it to make it more impactful. And so both of those sold very quickly, but that's not really the bottom line of selling. Also, the last scripture that I kind of looked at last night was a man's gift. This is in Proverbs 18:16. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. I don't know if I've been before too many great men, but I've seen that when you have this talent and people see it, oftentimes there's a door that's open that they want to talk to you. I mean, people that, you know, don't know me at all want to talk to me. We went to pick up the, Clark and I, to pick up the easels yesterday at Ziegler's, and one of the ladies there was one of the women who was posing for us in our portrait group. And she was all excited to see me and all that kind of thing. And it was just another one of those things where I thought, this is, the Lord has opened a door for conversation because of my gift. So I want to thank thank God for the art, the gift of art, and the gift he's given me to be able to put down on paper. It's usually paper because I'm a watercolor artist. Put down on paper all the response to his creativity. I want to thank Jim Garrett, who's always been behind me. I thank you so much, Lord Jim, and for encouraging this kind of service. And if I can do this, I want to thank my husband, who let me quit my job in 1984 when we had put no end date on it to just see what I could do. But he's always, always been behind me. He has lugged paintings. He has set up stands. He has driven countless miles. He's eaten late dinners. I remember one time he came into my studio and said, are we going to have dinner? I had totally forgotten the time. It was like 8 o'clock, 8:30. He has always listened to my dreams and hopes and disappointments. And so I could not do this without his giving me that ability to do it. And he's always looked out after my time so that I have the time to create. And so I'm really grateful beyond what I can say for my sweetheart husband. So anyway, thank you.
We heard several themes, didn't we? We heard, first of all, it's all a gift. None of these took credit for the gift that they have. I mean, that's what a gift is. Somebody gives it to you, and we're grateful for that. We also heard the theme that it's all about glorifying God. So these things don't happen by accident. These things are to share God's creativity with us. It's a wonderful gift, isn't it? And again, I'm so grateful. And we have so many people in this church who've not only done art kind of as a hobby, we have a lot of people who've done that too, but have actually earned income from the art. And so we're grateful to have all of you here. Thank you for all of you who shared. It's very meaningful, very helpful for us. We'll have a little bit of time before the artists take their stuff home following here the service. I'm going to pray to close. The meal will be served back here. You don't need to wait on anybody. Just go on through the line. We're going to pray now. So let's all stand. Let's prepare to close. Invite you back for Sunday night activities as well. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the tremendous gift of creativity that comes from your hands, the ultimate creator. We thank you, Father, that we can celebrate that. And in celebrating that gift, we celebrate you, because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who created all of us, the one who gave us the gift of creativity, not just for things like we see around this auditorium today, but for so many other ways, Father, that we can be creative, because you have given us that gift of being creative. We ask you to bless now the food that we share and the fellowship and the meal we're about to have, and bless us as we go, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're dismissed.